Bibles, please turn to Jude. There's only one chapter, so Wiley, Jude chapter 2. Book of Jude, it's right before the book of Revelation, all the way in the back of your Bible. That's one of those books that you read when you say, I read a whole book of the Bible every day. Jude, we're going to read the first four verses together. I want to help you tonight. Jude chapter 1. All right. Jude chapter 1, verse number 1 through 4. We'll read this passage responsively. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight, the next 36, 37 minutes or so. Lord, I have no axe to grind. I just want to lift up the faith. Lord, I'm not angry at anything but sin and wrong doctrine. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Help me to transfer to the people the truth that you have for us tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I warned you this morning I was going to throw a little fit. I'm not going to throw a fit at you, but I want to kind of, you know, every year the President of the United States gives a State of the Union address. Well, this is kind of State of the Church address. Amen. And I just kind of want to help you a little bit. We live in such a hate-filled, emotionally-led world today. We have a snowflake generation that claims that hate speech is anything that disagrees with what they want. We now have diseases that are blamed because President Trump beat Hillary for the White House. They came out in the news this week saying there is a new disease based on the fact people are so depressed over the results of the election. Can I tell you something? Let's put them in the hospital and don't let them vote. Amen? We're expected to let, and by the way, I don't agree with that. That's just humor, all right? We're expected to let every man do that which is right in their own eyes, but yet we're the hate mongers if we preach that which is right. Now, because someone has principles and sticks by those principles, no matter what comes, that does not deem them a bully. I am not for being unkind to people, no matter what their color, no matter what their gender, no matter what. But may I say this, sin is wrong. I don't care what color, don't care what gender, and don't care if you don't know what you are.
Amen.
That's not being a bully. That's standing by Bible principle. For instance, as the old preacher Sam Jones used to say, he was visiting this lady in the house, and he was stroking the cat up the fur, not down the fur. And she said, Mr. Jones, you're stroking the cat the wrong way. He said, lady, you turn the cat around. I ain't changing. I like that. What's happened to Christianity today? It used to be Christians stood for right. I don't blame the problem in America today on the White House. I blame it on the church house.
Amen.
Used to be the man of God wasn't afraid to get up and preach against sin. Now we got a bunch of sissy britches, lily-livered wimps in the pulpits that are afraid to offend anybody. No, they don't want to lose anybody because they're afraid they might have to work for a living, go knock on doors. They're afraid of saying something that's going to offend somebody. Well, they might leave my church. I don't want anybody leaving my church, but may I say this? If you're going to separate over the preaching of that book right there, there's the door.
Yeah.
I love you, but I'm not changing it.
Amen.
I can't change it. It's God's words, not my words.
Amen.
Now, I don't like to fight. I like peace and harmony. I really do. But I don't like peace and harmony at any cost.
Right.
I'm not going to change the preaching. I'm not going to change what the faith is just to keep somebody here. I realize that light and darkness cannot dwell together. I realize that righteousness and evil cannot dwell peaceably together. May I say this? I don't want to live peaceably with sin. I don't want to live peaceably with evil. I have no desire to fellowship with those that are going a wrong direction. Everybody doing okay? Hang on, I'm about to throw a fit. Amen. You see, I don't want to live at peace with sin. I don't want to live with peace with evil or corruption or the vileness of this world. It perplexes me beyond measure why churches are more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. Well, we got to reach the world. We got to look like the world, and we got to play the world's music to attract the world. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We're not to be like the world to reach the world. When you're just like them, they don't want to be like you. Everybody doing okay? God tells us that there are some things for which we should fight. We are not to fight over personalities. If my personality offends you, I will apologize. If my position offends you, tough toenails.
Amen.
Sorry, not changing it. If my personality and you and I have a conflict there, I have no problem apologizing. But I am not apologizing over salvation by grace through faith.
Amen.
I'm not apologizing over the King James Bible.
Amen.
And I'll list some other things here in a moment. You see, it's not a matter of, we're not to have Burger King Christianity, have it your way.
Amen.
The Bible hasn't changed.
That's right.
This isn't just a book of message, it's a book of methods.
Amen.
God told us by what method we're to use, not just what we're to say. So, we're to not fight because I know I'm right. No, we're to fight for certain things that God tells us here in Jude, verse number 3. I want you to notice verse number 3 again. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. Notice it's about salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Watch this. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Notice they slide in, come in the back door, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Those are religious people. They brought religion into the church and corrupted the doctrines of the faith. And God says, I want you to earnestly contend. Do you know what that word contend means? It's fight. I grew up watching boxing. You say, that's brutal. I don't think you should watch it. Okay, but as long as it was on TV, I was going to watch it. It wasn't outlawed, so I like watching two guys beat the snot out of each other. I think it's brutal and don't think you ought to do it. But while it was on TV, I enjoyed it. That they would call them contention fights. They were battling for position. You have to understand this is a positional issue.
That's right.
It is a fight for position. Now, this means whatever makes up the faith, that is which we are to fight for.
Right.
We're not to fight over personality. We're not to fight over preference, whether we use a piano or a piano and an organ in church, or whether you just use an organ. I'm not going to fight anybody over that mess. Well, I don't think that you ought to have stringed instruments in church. I've heard preachers get up and split their church over whether somebody had a Christmas tree or not. God bless you. If a Christmas tree you don't want one, don't have one, but don't get all upset with me. All right? You can. There's worse things in the world than a Christmas tree. All right. Well, it's idolatry, and you're worshiping a tree, and you have holes in your head. I have never bowed down and prayed to my Christmas tree. Ask him what kind of car he drives, and if somebody punched a hole in the side of his truck, how he's going to feel. Well, that's idolatry. All right, you shouldn't drive it then, amen? Okay, moving on. Tonight, I want to show you what makes up the faith. There are eight things that I will give you tonight. I believe there's eight. There are. That make up the faith. Number one, the Word of God. Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means the word of God makes up part of the faith. It is the faith. Yes. Folks, I started preaching 38 years ago this last week, and I haven't changed. I'm preaching the same book I preached 38 years ago, Brother Mike. I haven't changed. Say, well, there's more modern versions. Yeah, there's more modern versions of a lot of things that are perverse too. You see, there has to be an every word Bible somewhere. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, in battling the devil, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means there has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. By the way, God can't work outside of his word. Jesus Christ is the word of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. Verse number 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
If you went to the book of Revelation, you find out when he comes back at the end battle, at the end of the tribulation, it says it's written on his vesture, his name, the Word of God. Amen. When you start messing with the Bible, you're messing with Jesus. If you start messing with the Bible, you're messing with our Savior. And by the way, it's interesting. You say, well, only the originals were inspired. Well, I hate to disappoint you, sweetie, or sweetette, or whatever you are. Can I tell you something? In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was battling the devil, he said, Scripture says. He was quoting the Old Testament scriptures. And they weren't the original documents. Some of those were 3,000 years old. Farther, 1,000 years farther away from where we were from Jesus Christ right now. But he said, it's written. Scripture says, it is written. And he quoted the scriptures three different times in the three different temptations there in Matthew chapter 4. And we will fight for the word of God here at Grace Baptist Church. Matter of fact, God said he'll magnify his word above his name. Can I tell you why God said, I will magnify my word above my name? Because if God can't keep his word, his name is worthless. Used to be, your signature was good enough. Your signature meant something. That means you gave your word, and your word was worth something. Now, good night. Oh, yeah, preacher, I'll be at church. 6 weeks later, after I've called them, contacted them, visited them, bathed them, burped them, got them clothes. Well, we just can't make it. Yeah. You see, there has to be an every word Bible somewhere. I'm not going to take a long time. Someday I'll teach on the King James Bible. I have some. Can I tell you something? The King James Bible is the Word of God for the English speaking people. Not the New King James, not the NIV, not the NASV, not the Good News for Modern Men and Bad News for Bad Monkeys, not the Precious Moments Bible. Not the Reader's Digest Condensed Version, not the New King James, not the HIV Bible for the sodomites, not the Gender Neutral Bible. Can I tell you something? There has to be an every word Bible somewhere.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing? They call somebody like me a fundamentalist shallow, but they're the ones that have to have an easier Bible to understand.
That's right.
We don't need man's words to tell us what God said. God was very capable to say what he wanted us to know.
Right.
He said it in the King James Bible. I challenge you, you won't find any revival, major revival preached anywhere around the world that wasn't preached out of the King James Bible. Not one. You know, you can take any other version of the Bible into Russia except the King James Bible. Do you know that you can take virtually any other version of the Bible into Muslim countries except the King James Bible? Wonder why. Wonder why. You say, why are they afraid of that one? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Don't mess with the Word of God.
Amen.
We're going to fight for the Word of God. I've lost people in our church over that, and I'll probably continue to lose some folks in our church over that. But we would have separated somewhere down the line anyway. If you're wrong on the Bible, you're wrong. Period. Number two. By the way, I said that with a good attitude, didn't I? Number two, salvation by grace through faith only. We are not saved by works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
There's that faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Yet not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are to be no works added to salvation. Matter of fact, did you know that you don't even have the faith necessary to get saved?
That's right.
According to Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, God said he hath given to every man the measure of faith. What is the measure of faith? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, and that what? That is a relative pronoun renaming the last noun, which is faith. And that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me show you something. Turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Keep your fingers in Galatians there, because we're going to flip around in a couple verses here. I love this. I'm about to have fun here. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the what?
Faith.
Watch this. Of Jesus Christ. Not of your faith. It is the faith of Jesus Christ by the word of God that was put into man in Romans 12, 3. Watch this. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the what?
Faith
of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse number 8. And the scripture, that's in reference to the word of God itself, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, watch this, through faith, preached before the gospel unto who?
Abraham.
Everybody look at me. Abraham wasn't saved by the law, he was saved by the gospel. What's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament? If my pulpit is Calvary in the Old Testament, they looked ahead at what Jesus would do.
Amen.
That's what the temple was about. In the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled it, and we look back at what he did do.
That's right.
But it's by faith. One accepted it by faith that it would happen. We accept by faith that it did happen.
Yes, sir.
And notice it's the word gospel with the salvation of Abraham, all the way back in the book of Genesis. Now, let me keep reading here. That scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by
faith.
In other words, we're to fight for salvation by faith. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Everybody listen to this. There's a lot of suave preachers on the radio. I don't care if they have the name Baptist attached or not. You can't turn from your sin to get saved.
That's right.
Not a one. They use the term repent. Repent is a biblical term, and it is part of salvation. Let me describe repentance to you. Repentance isn't falling on the ground, crying and weeping, being sorry because you're a sinner. Repentance isn't turning from all of your sin so that you can get saved. Repentance is, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3, that you have not submitted yourselves unto the righteousness of God. So the moment you realize you're a sinner, in need of a Savior, and you're willing to trust the gospel, you go from trusting yourself to trusting what Jesus Christ did for you. That moment is the act of repentance, and it's the act of salvation.
Amen.
Salvation and repentance are synonymous with one another. They go together. You go from trusting your own works, your own way, your own righteousness, and you submit it to the righteousness of God. That act of turning from what you are to what He did is the act of repentance. Has nothing to do with being sorry about your sin. Has nothing to do about turning from your sin. Can I tell you what? How many of you have sinned since you got saved? Raise your hand. Yeah. Guess what? Guess you're not saved then, are you? If you have to turn from your sin to get saved, then you cannot get saved because you'll never quit sinning.
Amen.
Amen.
That is right. Amen.
That is adding works to salvation.
That's right.
I'll fight against that mess.
Amen.
Everybody hold on here. Then you got those out there as well. You have to make Jesus Lord of your life. Can I tell you something? He's Lord whether you make Him Lord of your life or not.
Amen.
He is the Lord Jesus. That's not a title you give Him. It's already His.
That's right.
Well, if you don't make Him Lord, then you really didn't get it. Okay, that's judging somebody's works and judging somebody's motives there. That's only reserved for God, not another human being. Well, if you're not bearing the fruit of a Christian... I'll be a fruit inspector. Well, you can go inspect all the fruits you want. I'm leaving them alone. Can I tell you something? There are ladies in this room. I can count two or three ladies in this room that I know personally that have had miscarriages. But you have babies in heaven. It doesn't mean that you're not a mama. Doing okay? The moment seed was conceived, it brought forth life. That life may have never been outside the womb, and America has murdered over 60 million of them. Can I tell you something? They're still babies and it's still life. Who are you to say that you can judge the fruit then? Who made you God?
Amen.
You know, nobody in this room would have chosen any of the disciples to be your pastor if that's the way you are. They believed in ghosts. They quit the ministry and went back to their businesses. One of them was cussing. No, I'm not for cursing. There are times I might hire somebody to go do it for me. Yeah, buddy. Whereas my dad would say, you write it, I'll sign it. There are times I've felt that way. Can I tell you something? You say, well, I get accused. Well, that's called easy believism. Well, show me where God made it hard believism. That's exactly right, Brother Mike. If it's hard, then it's works. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Huh. God made it to where it was easy for everybody to do it. Little child, teenager, middle-aged person, or old person.
Right.
God made it to where if you're still barely hanging on, and you got enough breath left in your body to accept salvation, that you can get saved. I've led people to the Lord that couldn't even talk. They were so close to death. First man I ever watched die, I led him to the Lord just before he died. He could not speak, tubes down his throat, And I said, William, I said, if you can hear me, squeeze my finger twice. Put my hand in his, and he did this. I said, if you understand my voice, squeeze my finger twice. I said, so yes is two squeezes, no is one squeeze. Squeezed my hand twice. Gotcha. I began to say, William, you're a sinner. Do you realize that you're a sinner? He squeezed my hand twice, and the last time held it real tight. I said, do you realize there's a penalty on sin? It's death and hell, and you're very close to dying right now. I read him Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. I said, do you understand that? Squeezed my finger twice. I said, but Jesus came and paid the sin debt for you. I explained what Jesus did for him. I said, William, would you be willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior right now? Squeeze my finger twice. Tears pouring out his eyes that weren't even open. I said, then you there in your heart, you say this to the Lord and mean it. And I led him through the sinner's prayer. He couldn't word it. I said, William, did you do that? He just squeezed my finger twice and he just wouldn't let go. I began to talk to him for a little bit. I promise you, within 5 minutes, that man went to heaven. That's about as close as you can cut it, folks. But can I tell you something? William's walking streets of gold right now.
Amen.
And a whole bunch of people got saved at his funeral, and it was a mess. That's the funeral I preached in California, where we had a fight break out in the funeral home. I mean, knock down, drag out, call the police fight. I left the funeral home because it was a mess. Didn't even preach a funeral. Got back to the church. Funeral home director called me and said, come on back. They're ready. I said, you have got to be kidding. I said, no. I drove all the way back. I mean, we're talking rough. His brother got out of jail who had power of attorney just to go to the funeral. Wow. There's where the rub was. It was ugly. I got up. One faction sitting on this side, one faction sitting on that side, and nobody looking at each other, and it was cold as ice in there. And the old black preacher was there. I said, the guy that was in jail, it was his pastor. And I said, do you want to help me with this? He said, brother, he said, I'll take part in, but I don't want the blame for any of this. I said, I'll just have you read some scripture and pray. He said, I can do that, brother. I said, but I want you sitting up next to me. He said, I'd rather sit next to you because I don't think they're going to fight you. I got up. I preached. I preached how William got saved. Man, I had people just sitting there weeping. I said, how many of you? I had them bow their heads. I said, how many of you? I mean, I got going. I smacked the side of the casket, and I said, William, be upset with everybody in here fighting and fussing and feuding. I hit that casket so hard, I thought he's going to flip out of that thing. You all think I hit the pulpit hard. I hit that casket. I shouldn't have done it. I've never done it again, I promise you. But I got their attention. There was about 37 hands that went up for salvation. I said, hang on, if you really mean business, I want you to show God and I want you to show William in heaven that you mean business. Get out of your seat and walk to this altar. 37 people got out of their seats, walked to the altar, knelt at an altar in a funeral chapel, and got saved.
Amen.
There was no more fighting. They were all walking arm in arm. We went out. I let the old black preacher do the graveside service. We were walking back to our cars. He said, preacher... He said, can I have your sermon? He said, I got to preach that to my church. I reached in my Bible and said, here you go. Just don't tell them where you got it. I'm not kidding. But I won him 5 minutes before he died. And another 37 people got saved. Say, what is that salvation by grace through faith? Boy, do I have to hurry. Number next, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Jesus' blood was not symbolic. It was real. John MacArthur is wrong. Jesus' blood didn't trickle to the foot of the cross and stay there, and it's just symbology. Can I tell you something? Symbols, the symbols and types crowd are part of the temple Pharisees and scribes. oh, this represents this, and this represents that, and this is just a type, and this is just a symbol of. Jesus died for the church. Jesus paid for the church with his blood, according to the book of Ephesians. He bought the church with his blood. Can I tell you something? I'll fight for the blood of Jesus Christ. He died as the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice, but he resurrected as our high priest. That's why when Mary saw him on the road of Emmaus, he said, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." As our high priest, he had to take his own blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat in heaven, the true tabernacle, according to the book of Hebrews, and he had to take his own blood and put it on the mercy seat. It wasn't the sprinkled blood as it died of the lamb that was for redemption. It was the blood applied to the mercy seat that was a picture of what Jesus would do. By the way, the Old Testament tabernacle was a picture of the real tabernacle in heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. Brother Stoltz is right now looking at the mercy seat in heaven with the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled on it.
Wow.
Not only was he our lamb, but he resurrected as our high priest.
That's right.
Mr. MacArthur's wrong, and a bloodless salvation is as wicked as the devil. It started in the Garden of Eden when God killed the animals to give Adam and Eve skins to cover their body. It was a picture of salvation, and he was explaining to them one day what Jesus would do. It was the first experience of death in the world. Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? The blood of Jesus Christ is important. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It is by the blood of Christ that we have our salvation.
Yes, sir.
By the way, it wasn't man's blood, it was God's blood.
Amen.
I preached on Matthew chapter 1 today, and we talked about the birth of Christ. Can I tell you something? When Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost, the bloodline runs through the Father. That's why Joseph wasn't the father of Jesus. God was.
Yes, sir.
The blood came from the Father.
Amen.
He had God's blood. He had to put on a robe of flesh that could die. That's why he was born of woman. You see, in his heavenly body, he couldn't die. He had to put on a robe of flesh that could die, but he had God's blood in him.
Amen.
His blood didn't die. His body did. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having a spell right now. Number 4, I got to hurry. The virgin birth of our Savior. The Jehovah's false witnesses and the Mormons are wrong. Jesus and Satan are not brothers. They believe that Lucifer was a created being that equals Jesus Christ. That's wicked as the devil. Jesus is not the son of a human seed. He is the son of God. Mary was not a virgin her whole life. Matter of fact, if you read Matthew chapter 1 again, it says that Joseph knew her not until the birth of Jesus. And I hate to disappoint you, but later in the Gospels it talks about Jesus' brothers and sisters.
Right.
Now, you tell me how she stayed a virgin and had more kids. I know the Catholics will tell you, well, Joseph was an older kinsman redeemer and had children from another marriage and was a widow and married Mary as a young lady and never had children with her. That's Catholic doctrine. Mary and Joseph were young people. Everybody doing okay? By the way, the Bible says, well, blessed Mary. No, the angel came and said, blessed art thou among women.
Right.
Not above women.
You're right.
Do you know there's only one woman in the Bible that it says, blessed art thou above women? It's found in the book of Judges, and her name was Deborah. And she was a judge of Israel. The only one in the Bible where it says that you're blessed above women was Deborah. That means Deborah had a higher position than Mary. Everybody doing okay? Mary was the vessel to give Jesus a body that could die so that we could have the gospel.
Right.
That is all that she was. She was a godly Christian young lady. She was pure. She was virgin. By the way, if you study Catholic doctrine, they'll tell you the Immaculate Conception is they believe that Mary was conceived of a virgin. Not Jesus. Just so you know. Number five, I must hurry. Some of you look at me like, preacher, where do you come up with this? You do the research, you'll find out I'm right. Number five, eternal salvation of the believer. You cannot lose your salvation. Once you get saved, you can't get unsaved. You believe once saved, always saved? Is there any other saved? God's not an Indian giver. According to John chapter 3, it's a birth. Did you know whether I do good or whether I do bad, they can't unbirth me?
Amen.
There are days, I remember my dad saying, we brought you into this world, I can take you out. But I couldn't be unborn. I may have been dead, but I wasn't going to be unborn. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
All right. You see, your mom still feels that way, Scott. You know, the only sin that we say, well, there's an unpardonable sin. Let me tell you what the unpardonable sin is. Rejecting salvation.
That's right.
Amen.
Rejecting salvation and dying without being saved. That's the only unpardonable sin. You see, if you get saved thinking you have to do something to keep it, you've added works to salvation, and it's no wonder you don't know if you're saved because you're not. Well, I have to live a certain way or I'll lose my salvation. If that's how you got saved, you didn't get saved. I'm sorry to tell you. You got saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
If you believed you could lose it when you got it, you never got it.
Amen.
You know, I wonder how the Pentecostals and the Church of God people that believe you can get it and lose it and get it and lose it and get it and lose it preach the rapture. You know, the rapture would be like a yo-yo for some of them. Got it, lost it, got it, lost it, got it, lost it. Good night. He didn't come to put it on your shoulders other than accepting it.
Amen.
Receiving it. Everybody doing okay? It is not of works. I've got to hurry. Number six, another thing that makes up the faith. Soul winning is part of the faith.
Amen.
Now listen to me very carefully. Soul winning is spreading the faith. Soul winning is the spreading of the gospel. It is every person's responsibility who is saved to get the gospel to somebody. You say, well, preacher, I don't go to church-wide soul winning, but I go soul winning. Great, I'm happy for you. You're not going to hear me criticize you, but I believe it's every Christian's responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Everybody doing all right? It's not just my responsibility, it's everybody's responsibility. By the way, it's a command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I didn't write it, God did.
That's right.
We're to do it as he told us to do it. We're not to add our own cute little ways of doing it. We're not supposed to... And please don't think I'm criticizing. I have nobody in mind. I just know how things are going these days. Well, we'll have you come out and go visiting. And you can take this questionnaire and go knock on doors. And you can ask these people 35 questions and bring them back to the church. And then we'll find out from those 35 questions the people that are most interested. And we'll send trained and qualified soul winners out to talk to those that answered the right questions the right way. That's telling you somebody wants to play God. I hate to disappoint you. Man, I've knocked on doors thinking, this one's going to get saved. And that's the one that slammed the door in my face. And I've had others, you see them coming around the corner thinking, oh, Lord, he's going to eat nails and spit them at me, and he is not going to listen. Big old tough guy, and watch that man bow his head and trust Christ and get saved. My dad and mom know who I'm going to talk about here. I led a long-haired maggot to the Lord. Rick Tubbs. He had hair down to his waist. Bike riding, tattooed. Looked like he got in a fight with a pop rivet gun. Stuff everywhere. Back in the day where you wore a wore a chain on your wallet, and your wallet was about that big, and it was solid leather. Oh, yeah. All the way. I led Rick to Christ. Rick came to church and got baptized.
Praise the Lord.
Rick's kids rode my bus. I was a teenager. He came to church and got saved. He said, I'd like to drive that bus. I said, you better go talk to the preacher. Because hair that long, you ain't driving the bus. God bless you. So he went and told the preacher he needed to get. The preacher said, Rick, I'd love to have you do it, but you're going to have to get your hair cut. So he came back the next week, and he got his hair cut. It was only back to my hair. He said, can I drive the bus now, preacher? He said, you got to get it cut again. He said, I already got it. He said, you did good, but you got to get it cut again. So he came back the next week. It was only down to his shoulders. He said, can I drive the bus now, preacher? He said, you got to get your hair cut like mine. He said, like yours, I might as well not have any. He said, you got to get it cut right. I went back and visited Rick the next week, knocked on the door, and I said, is Rick here? I couldn't recognize him. Got his beard and his mustache shaved off, got his hair cut like it's supposed to be. He said, it's me, Brother Bush. I said, no. I said, let's call the preacher. That was in a day where you didn't have to have CDL to drive. He went to church the next day. He walked by the preacher, shook his hand. He said, preacher, he said, do I know you? He said, this is Rick. He said, no. It was. Guess who drove my bus the next week?
Amen.
Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? Soul winning's part of the faith. Now, it doesn't happen that way to everybody, but it does happen that way. Did I think Rick would get saved when I first saw him? Mm-mm. He had two big old bean dogs, and he had a snake. Remember that big old, he had a big old boa constrictor or something. He fed that thing rats and rabbits. I'm thinking, oh, yeah. Man, it was, I mean, you talk about a rough critter. I watched that man get on that bus and drive that bus for a couple years. I'll guarantee if you'd have asked him some of those questions, he wouldn't have answered them right. But when he heard the gospel, he said, huh, that's something I need. Bowed his head and got saved.
Amen.
Next, the local church. This is the place where we meet to learn about faith so that we can get more people saved. The New Testament church is part of the faith. Can I tell you something? I'm going to fight for the church. I will fight for Grace Baptist Church. Independent, fundamental, King James only, not ashamed of it.
Amen.
On our new sign, it says, independent, fundamental, King James Bible only.
Amen.
Say, why? Because we're not going to have people ask us questions.
Right.
It's on the sign. Amen. Church is a hospital to bring sin-sick people to so they can get saved and healed up so they can go out and get other people saved and bring them to church.
That's good, preacher.
It's a place for preaching the faith. Romans chapter 10, verse number 14. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, guess what? You got one.
Amen.
Like it or lump it, you got one.
Amen.
Church is not a social club for a status symbol.
That's what I
hear people all the time, well, we like your church, but you don't have enough programs. And it's not meeting our needs socially. Show me one social program in that book. I'm number one, I don't have a place for much. As soon as I get my new building, guess what? We're going to have more stuff. But we're also going to be reaching more people.
Amen.
And we're going to be busier. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. The local church is worth fighting for.
Yes.
I'm on the wrong page. There we go. Right page. By the way, the church is not the sanctuary. We've let Catholicism and denominationalism overtake our wording. The sanctuary is where the presence of God was, and according to the Bible, your body is now the sanctuary. Because that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
This is our auditorium. This is a church. It's not a holy place. Now, I think we ought to respect it. I think we ought to teach our children to respect it, but it's not, shh, don't laugh in church. We're not burying people inside the walls either, amen? Yeah. No, 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 no.
This is what happens when you get out of hand.
Yeah, buddy. It's not some spooky spiritual place. I've been in churches where they told people, don't laugh in our church. I've been in churches where they said, don't say amen out loud in church. You know how hard it is to preach in a place like that?
Amen.
Good night. I was in a church like that one time preaching, and I cut loose, and I couldn't help it. I said, somebody say amen. Man, it was dead quiet. I said, amen. I'll say it myself. I didn't get asked to come back there and preach. I couldn't figure out why. And then I found out they had rules that you shouldn't say that. Well, I had fun preaching that night. They experienced something. They were about to have a heart attack. It's not a place where we're going to fight over what color the carpet or the walls are. I know churches that have split over what they served at the church picnic. Good night. Church is not a seminary class or cemetery class for dusty theologians to oppress you with their brain knowledge. It's a hospital where people come and get stitched back up.
Amen.
It's not a place where we copy the world. We copy what God said do. Folks, we're going to sing the old songs. We're going to sing them the old way. Someday you'll have somebody who can sing them the right way. I sing them in tune. It's just not the right tune. Man, Kirsten can't play it in the off key that I sing it in. The piano can't play it in the off key I sing it in. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? We're going to sing the old songs. We're going to have church the old way. Amen. Say why? Because God said get back to the old paths.
Amen.
There's got to be a place doing it the way God wanted it done. Amen. Number 8, I'm done. Whew. Separation from the world and standards. Jesus said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. The word church itself means called out assembly. Why in the world does a called out assembly want to go back to the world and bring the world in? We ought not dress like the world. We ought not sing like the world. We ought not entertain ourselves like the world entertains itself. Everybody doing okay? We ought not bring the world into the church. We're not... Don't get me started there. We're to wear the uniform of a Christian. We're not supposed to be Christians incognito. It's not sneak attack. Now, you can go soul winning no matter what you're wearing, but can I tell you something? I think when we go out and represent the church, we ought to represent God right.
Right.
I'm not saying it's sinful. I know churches that wear, their staff doesn't even wear ties to go out soul winning. I know Bible colleges that teach you shouldn't wear a tie. You'll look like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, so don't dress like that. Can I tell you something? I believe in dressing like a Christian no matter who is or who isn't. Everybody doing okay? I believe when we serve in the church, we ought to abide by God's dress standards. I believe that's just the way it ought to be. And I'm not changing that. By the way, the door's open for everybody. We're going to bring in people that don't dress right. Guess what? That's a sign of a growing church. And they're all welcome. Now, if you want to work in the nursery or you want to sing and work with the music and you want to work with in Sunday school and help in different programs, I'm going to ask you to step it up and wear the uniform of a Christian.
Yes.
Is that unreasonable?
No.
Some of you have to wear uniforms at work. Oh, my soul. You'd have to wear a uniform to go to work? Man, when I worked in the shop, I had to wear a uniform. And I was glad to wear a uniform because I didn't have to clean those nasty things. We're supposed to come out from the world and be separate from the world. I think that we ought to dress different than the world. I think we ought to act different than the world. We went to my wife's grandfather's funeral in Minnesota. Yeah, it was your grandpa's funeral. We had only been married less than 6 months. I got out of the car. I'd gotten up at like 5 in the morning,
worked at the college and went to a couple classes, then went to my other job, got off work at midnight, went back to my apartment, slept for about 2 or 3 hours, got my in-laws up. We were in a studio apartment, and I had my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my wife in a bedroom, in a deficiency apartment. It looked like Nagasaki, bodies laying everywhere. We got up at about 2 in the morning, and I drove 14 hours to get to Minnesota, got out of the car, and she had a distant relative. I had never met any of these people in my life. I'm getting out of the car, parking the car in snow that's, you know, knee-deep. And he looked at me, my wife and I, and said, "You're Baptists, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah? How'd you know?" He said, "You even smell like a Baptist." Well, I don't know what a Baptist smells like, but I smelled like one. Amen? Good night. I think that we ought to have separation from the world. You say, "Preacher, what are you going to fight for?" Those 8 things. I'm not going to fight you over colors. Good night, I'm colorblind. I don't care. I'm not going to fight you over little petty stuff. We're not going to fight over what we're going to have at the 4th of July picnic. Good night, you had so much food you couldn't eat it all as it was. Why do we want to fuss and feud over that stuff? Let's fight for the faith. God says, earnestly contend for the faith. By the way, listen to this carefully. We've got a lot of preachers that are afraid to fight for the faith. They're giving up. Well, you met one that's not giving up. We're going to contend for the faith at Grace Baptist Church. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's time some of you just decide you're going to enlist in the fight. Decide you're going to be willing to fight the battle with it.